Hey family, this is Pastor Devin Wallace, and I'm praying wherever you are listening from today, whether it's in your car or you're on a run or just drinking a cup of coffee, know that God will bless this time as you hear His Word. And if this message today blesses you, it might bless someone else, so be sure to share it with someone you know. God bless you. Good morning, Redemption to the Nations. It's me. I'm back. Some of you thought you were done with me till next year, but I didn't ask for this. I got put on the spot this week, but that's okay. How many of you were like wanting to take communion from your neighbor just so you could eat again? Some of you are like, Pastor Evan, I didn't fast. But for those of you that are fasting today, you were like, can I have your communion bread, please? It's the best communion I've taken in a long time. Laugh, everybody. It's okay. If you missed the fact that we fasted the first, second, and third of this month, and today is the third day, you can jump in next month. And every month this year at Redemption to the Nations Church, as well as many other churches joining us around this nation, we're fasting, we're giving God the first fruits. So whether you dive all the way in and communion is your only food, or whether you just give up your coffee, which is like death to some of you, you can join us as we fast and pray together. I make you this promise, you will never regret it. You will never regret the fruit of what God does. And what's so beautiful is during fasting time, we do have Tabernacle of David here in this house. We're learning this language. We're learning this style of prayer and intercession. And it's amazing because when you're struggling to fast, the best place you can go is to the house of the Lord. So fasting is not starving yourself. Fasting is eating from a different table. When the disciples asked Jesus, he was sitting at the well where he met the Samaritan woman. They said, Jesus, aren't you hungry? He didn't say, I'm hungry. He said, I have meat you don't know about. He said, I'm eating. I'm just eating from a different table. So just remember that. It's an exchange. So if you just starve yourself, but you don't commune with him, you're on a miserable diet. But the good news is three times a day, on the first, second, third of every month, 7 to 9, 12 to 2, 7 to 9, am I right? Good. You come into this house, and it's a no-striving zone. I bring the Wallace kids, which I apologize to everyone they interrupt. Asher shakes his tambourine, Genesis colors, and waves her flags, and it's 2 hours of worship and intercession and reading of the Word, and it's some of the sweetest moments I have in my month. Whether you lay on the floor, come sit in the back, it's such a sweet presence of the Lord. So that's tonight, last one at 7, right? So those of you that didn't get to jump in, even if you didn't fast, you can still come to Tabernacle, and that'll be from 7 to 9 tonight, and His presence will be here. So I invite you here. So I'm going to jump into the Word of the Lord today. Jump. Leap. I need Pastor Tobin and JoJo's new shirt. It's really cool. Everybody needs a leap shirt. And let's see, for my leap year, I hope you did something fun. I know our elementary students, they played leapfrog and they prayed. And just a little secret, I started in Chattanooga with my daughter and drove all the way to Nashville and ran and leaped and drove all the way to St. Louis and went to the Western Gate, rode that tram all the way to the top of the arch. And I leaped at the top of it. In fact, it hit me while I was getting on the tram. It was actually one giant leap. Just preparing for what we're doing. Because I don't just preach it. I believe it. I believe we're in a leap year. And I leaped for me, for my house. I leapt for you. I better get good English. I leapt for you. So today when Pastor Nathan was decreeing the word of the Lord, I hope you grabbed hold of it in your heart that He's doing a new thing. That's what I come to talk about today. So this isn't some profound message because, again, unless I have a year to prepare, it's the grace of God I have anything to say in the life I live. But this word came to me on my leap year, and I'm just going to share it with you. A very familiar passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 18. And I'm going to start in verse 6, the potter's wheel or the spinning wheel. And I know who's to my left. Destiny is not an angelic manifestation. She's actually one of the teachers at our school. She brought her potter's wheel today. And if it's okay with you, I just want her to have fun at that potter's wheel while I teach, because I think God loves object lessons. And today I want you to hear the word. I want you to see the word. And I want you to experience the word. So for Wild Ones, the Lord took me to the zoo. And I told you it was from Jeremiah 18. And I've just not been able to get out of that passage. So here we go. Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it again into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Father, I thank you today for your word. And I thank you, Father, for every individual gathered here, our family here, family gathered online. And today, Abba, we've come to hear your word, to see your word. Most importantly, to experience and encounter your word. And Lord, on this very, very prophetic day, would you let your word be confirmed by signs, wonders, and miracles? Would you send your word forth to produce fruit and accomplish what you designed for it to do? Would you let your word be like the seed that Pastor Nathan talked about, but let it fall on the good soil of our hearts? May we be hearers and doers of your word today. So I pray a blessing on this word today, on the words of my mouth. Holy Spirit, speak what I don't even know to say today. And I pray today there would be great fruit from what you would do. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 18, I'm going to stay right with the text. This is going to be fun. And my other text that I'm going to use today has already been preached a couple times. So we know we're in prophetic alignment this morning. And I want to talk about Jeremiah's encounter with the potter. And it's going to be a little different than maybe you've heard this message to preach. It's a very incredible text. And I could preach a series on this. And perhaps you've listened to a series on this. Such an encouraging and challenging passage. But I just really have one or two points to make that my entire message is going to be getting us ready for what I felt like the Lord said. And it has to do with the movement of March. Believe it or not, this message in the potter's house from the book of Jeremiah actually has to do with what's been said this morning, that we are in March. We are in a month of movement. And we find that right here in this passage at the beginning, something that I've lived over the past couple weeks. God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, get up. And it depends what translation you read it from, but the context of those instructions, it really is almost like saying immediately, right now, straightway, get up and move and go to the potter's house. We find the first person to move in Jeremiah 18 is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was either resting, he was either sleeping, he was in a place of sitting, and God said, I have a word, but I'm not going to speak until you move. In other words, in this month of March, here's my first word for you, that God is not the only one who's moving. In this month of March, we get really excited when we think about the hand of the Lord moving and God doing things for us. And we're like, whoo, March is a month of movement. Yes, move God, do God. You move, you do, you act. And God says, you first. Because God had something to say to Jeremiah, but God would not unload the revelation until Jeremiah positioned himself in a posture of obedience.
And Jeremiah could have done like most of us do. We hear instruction from the Lord, especially when it's unusual. We read this text now and it's an awesome story because we understand it holistically. But let's imagine Jeremiah's life. He's a prophet for Yahweh. He's done some crazy things. He's heard some crazy things. And all of a sudden God wakes him up and says, hey, just get up and go to the potter's house. It would almost be like if the Lord said, hey, get up and go to Publix today. Get up and go to Walmart today. And you would say, Father, this sounds strange. It doesn't feel very spiritual. I'm going to need a little more explanation first. I have a few questions to ask of you first. I need you to give me more understanding because this is going to take effort. This is going to disrupt my schedule. This might make me look strange. People know me. And if I show up there, it might be unusual. It might cost me. And I'm not moving until you give me more understanding. And God says, I'm not giving you more understanding until you move. And I've been in this season, and I'm just going to be super transparent. It's the only way I know how to preach these days. I have not passed the test in this season in all circumstances. I've wept some bitter tears over God saying move, and me through analysis paralysis waiting on wisdom from others, instruction from people, questions answered from God. And in my delay, I missed a moment, and I learned the next time when God said move, without thinking I would move, and then understanding would come immediately. We have it backwards. So I'm trying to help somebody. I don't want you to go through what I went through. You're in the month of March. It's the month of movement, and the best thing you can take from this message today is this: when God says move, just move. Don't ask your neighbor, don't ask your friend, don't pick up a book and read it, don't listen to a podcast, don't make a list of pros and cons. When God says move, just move. I promise he's going to bring you into understanding, but it's not going to happen until you get in alignment and in position with his word. Movement first, understanding later. This month is not just God moving, it's you moving. There'll be movement first and revelation later. Obedience first and blessing later. It's actually a Jewish idiom. Heart over head. It's why Barak is such an important form of worship. It's where we bow to the ground and we put our head below our heart. Worship and obedience intertwine to the Jewish people. In fact, obedience is a form of worship. Some of you, you've confined worship to coming to church, them singing a song, you raising your hands, leaping around, and that is worship. But God is also looking for you to worship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday by bowing your head below your heart and learning to obey first and understand later. Learning not to lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he makes your path straight. So March is a month where our head needs to bow below our heart. Because if you walk by your limited understanding, you will live in a limited revelation of his purposes for you. If you're going to choose to only walk with God based on what your finite carnal mind can wrap itself around, you will disqualify yourself from the wonder of his presence and the supernatural power of his hand. The only way you will ever step into the fullness of what God has for you is if you break out of the parameters of your carnal mind and you learn to walk by the Spirit, by his leading. Head over heart. God will prompt you, and he'll wait for you to move. So Jeremiah, he receives the prompting, thank God, and he goes to the potter's house. It says he went down to the potter's house and he saw some things. And this is why I thought it was so important for Destiny to do this. This is a project she's been doing with our students. It's important to not only hear, but to see. And not only to see, but to hear. When God gives you instructions, I really am speaking to some people that are seeking instruction from the Lord, and you are prepared for movement in the Spirit and you're waiting on his voice. Let me just tell you something. He'll show you as much as he says to you. And he'll say to you as much as he shows you. God was showing Jeremiah something before he said something. And so I just want to get into the scene of what Jeremiah saw. Can we do this today? This is going to be fun. So when Jeremiah went to the potter's house, there were four major characters in this word God was going to give Jeremiah. It was a living object lesson. And when God speaks or God shows you something, details matter. Now, most of the ladies in the room, psychology would tell us we are anointed for details. Guys, there are many of you that are anointed for details. But all of us in the spirit, that was mean, wasn't it, Carolyn? All of us in the spirit must be anointed for detail. Let me help you. God is in the details. He won't even start something that he doesn't finish in completion. He's not a partial God. He is a complete God in every way. Just ask Noah. When God asked Noah to build an ark, I'm about to relieve somebody of religious pressure. When God asked Noah to build an ark, guess how much he left for Noah to figure out? Zero. Guess how much pressure was on Noah to figure it out? Zero. God only put this pressure on Noah. Walk with me. Talk with me. And when God got ready for Noah to build an ark, he downloaded a prototype, and there was not even a square inch left to circumstance. So let me take some pressure off some of you that are seeking the will of the Lord this month and seeking the will of the Lord this year. When God gets ready to do something in your life, it's not on you to figure it out. It's not even on you to make it happen. It's only on you to be in his presence so you can see and you can hear what the Lord is saying to you. So pressure off today. In fact, it's truth that makes us free. And somebody, a yoke just broke off your back as I said that, because you spent your prayer time wringing your hands saying, how, God? How much? How big? When? How wide? Because you think God's just going to give you a bookend of his revelation, one end and the other, and you've got to figure out the middle all by yourself. But I'm here to tell you, when God does something through an individual, just ask Moses. He didn't even pick the color of the yarn. Do you know how detailed God is? He cared about the yarn. So I'm just here to take the pressure off you today. God is going to do a new thing in your life. And if you will spend your time, instead of stressing and worrying, if you will spend your time in his face, praying, seeking him, enjoying his presence, he will download to you in one moment what it will take you a lifetime to chase down. Pressure off today. So what did he see? There were four things: the house, the wheel, the clay, and the potter. If you'll give me just a moment, I just want us to get the eyes of Jeremiah, because it will help us understand what he's saying. And you get those eyes today as we put destiny on the spot. First of all, Jeremiah had to go to a particular house. I won't stay here long, but in this month, it's really important to know the house matters. Your house matters. This house matters. And the house God sends you to matters. Because whatever the name of the house is will determine what your experience is on the inside. If I went to Walmart, I would have a different experience than if I went to, I'm hungry today, so Rodizio's, right? Because the name on the building, it's an advertisement for what's happening on the inside. I wish we had time this morning for me to go off on my pet peeve, but you just better watch the trendy names of the gathering places you go. Because if the name is all about drawing people accidentally, I would be really concerned about what's going on the inside. That name better advertise who is on the inside. But I just need to challenge somebody. Some of your movement might be getting in the right house. Because the potter's house was in alignment with Jeremiah's assignment. Because Jeremiah's word was about process. And if he had gone to the wrong house, process would not have been welcome or conducive, and the place would not have been equipped for the process that Jeremiah was to be brought into. But a potter's house is a place of process. It's a place for safety while in development. Potter's houses are messy, and they're supposed to be. It's actually a place where mess is permitted. Not only is mess permitted, it's welcome, because the more the mess, the more creativity is going on. And if you're in a house where you're not allowed to see a little bit of a mess in the process of your life, you're not going to have much creativity from the hand of the Father. Religion will tell you it has to be clean and pretty, but you better get your family to a house where a mess is okay and process is welcome. In the potter's house, there were the tools that were needed for the process that was taking place. And some of you, God is moving in you into a place of safety for your process, because March is a month of movement. Not only was there a house, but there was a potter. And let's be real, it's actually the person in the house that defines the house. If there was a house but no potter in it, we couldn't call it the potter's house. If there was no pottery being made, then the title on the outside of the building would actually be a lie. And you better make sure when you go into a house that the person you are looking for is actually located there. And just in case you think that's people, if your eyes are on people, you will be sadly disappointed this year. You better find the house where the potter is. You better find the house where Jesus is, and not a place where he's just advertised. Just in case you're wondering, this is not in my notes. This is for somebody today. The person in the house is what makes the house. Jesus was in a little house, probably a house of poverty, with Mary and Joseph, and God just put a great big giant star manifesting over the house. Wise men from the east showed up, poured out their coffins of treasure, and that little bitty common house of poverty became the richest house in the city. Not because of the house, because Jesus was in it. So it doesn't matter if it's big. It doesn't matter if it's small. It doesn't matter if there's smoke and lights or it's a storefront. You just need to make sure Jesus is in the house so that you can receive from him. It's the potter that makes the house. And actually, it is his reputation that determines the value of everything in the house. You know, that's how it works with art. A gallery, its value is determined by the one who does the painting. And the person in the potter's house determines if it's a potter's house of value and authenticity. And I'm here to tell you, it's the potter that brings the value to the house and to everything he touches. So let's notice this in this character analysis of the potter's house. That there's only one in control, and it's the potter. There's only one in control. In fact, it's very important to note that making pottery is not a group effort. There's no time for the changing of hands with pottery. There's no space for room for multiple hands. There's actually no consulting with others. In fact, usually a potter's wheel is silent other than the sound of clay and spinning. And I think it's a sobering reminder today in the church that there is one potter and he consults no one. He is the only one in charge. And I am thankful for mentors. I'm thankful for leaders. I'm thankful for those who speak the word over my life. But I'm going to tell you this, there is one person with their hands on my life, and that's the potter. There is only one room for one person. There is only room for one person at the wheel of my life, and it's the potter. And if you stick your hands in there, you're going to mess up my vessel. I only want his hands touching me. I only want his hands on my heart. He is the only one that knows what's going on in his head. You may think he's messing up, but it's actually part of the plan. You may not like what I look like, what I sound like, what I'm called to do, but you are not my potter. Keep your hands off my vessel until he is finished with me. You don't have present permission to interfere. coming from my soul today. I don't need your permission for my process. I certainly don't need your advice, because I don't have a role in this. I am simply trying to be yielded to the potter. And if I keep letting your words pierce my heart, I might move from the very spot he has centered me. But there's only one person that knows the final prototype of this vessel. I don't even know. If most of us knew, we would probably jump off the wheel. There's only one in control. I came to speak to somebody. There are too many hands in your life. If I was to run over right now, I thought about doing it. I actually thought about it, but I'm not that mean. If I was to run over right now and touch Destiny's clay, it would destroy everything she's already worked to do. Quit inviting people to shape you that God did not appoint or anoint to shape you. Because when he puts somebody in your life to shape you, they will simply point you to the hands of the potter. They will simply help you find his voice. They will not shape you according to their design or their agenda or their selfish motive. True leaders in your life will keep you on that wheel. They'll cheer for you while they're on that wheel, but they will not touch what God is doing in your life. The potter works alone. And then we have the clay, third character. And the clay is the center point of the whole story. I mean, this is how God talks to me. This is my personal devotion with the Lord I'm sharing with you today. That the clay is the center point. The most valueless, insignificant thing in the house is actually center stage. Because that's how God works. He takes dirt and he makes it the center piece of creation. Isn't that what he did in the book of Genesis? He took dirt. He put himself in that dirt and made it the ruling example of him on the earth. And he's still doing that when he formed you in your mother's womb. So what I came to do is break false humility off of you. I came to break that self-condemning nature off of you. We all know you're just clay. So am I. We all know where we came from. But the difference in the dirt in the ground and the dirt on that potter's wheel is it was chosen. What is the difference between the dirt at the playground at my school and the dirt that's on that potter's wheel? It's because the potter saw the dirt and said, I want that pile of dirt. It doesn't look any different than the rest of the dirt. I really don't know what's so special about it. Other people are saying that, but the potter is saying, you see dirt, but I see a beautiful vase. You see dirt, but I see an ornate bowl. You see dirt, I see something that's stirring on the inside of me that I want to create, and that dirt is where I'm starting. So you don't have to qualify yourself. You couldn't do it if you tried. You don't have to compare yourself, because I know at the end of the day, vessels look different, but in their raw state, they're all dirt. The only thing that makes one different from the other is whatever the potter decided to add that the dirt can't even choose. Isn't it amazing? How can you not praise him? How can we go through our life and not surrender to a God that picked us up out of the dirt and said, you are going to be something amazing because I've chosen you? How can you not give him glory? Because dirt can't make itself into anything. And for those of you that are running around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to make yourself into something valuable, let me just give you a release today from striving. Dirt can't do anything. And it's not on you. All that clay has to do is sit on that potter's wheel. So it's the clay.
The potter sees the value in the dirt and he knows that he has the skill set to transform it. So listen to this. Dirt in the right house and in the right hands will have the fullness of its potential unlocked. But dirt in the wrong place with the wrong hands will be greatly devalued. This is fun. Let's think about it. Dirt in a flower bed. Dirt in a flower bed instead of dirt in a potter's house. It's actually just used to fertilize what's already growing. Dirt in a flower bed will never be anything beautiful. Its only purpose is to be used to make other things beautiful. And some of you have been really comfortable in a flower bed. You're fine if people use you. You're fine if God uses you. But you're not quite so comfortable with the thought of Him actually making you a vessel for His glory. Dirt in a construction yard instead of dirt on a potter's wheel. That dirt in a construction yard, it's actually in the way, Coach Mike. Dirt in a construction yard is in the way, and its only purpose is to be moved. Some of you, this isn't hitting you like it hit me, but if you've ever gone through a season in your life where you just feel like you're in the way of forward progress, and that the people surrounding you only want to move you, maybe you're in the wrong place. Because dirt in a construction yard, it's just in the way. And every tool and instrument is used to move it, to dump it, to get rid of it. This is my favorite. Dirt in a graveyard. It's only meant to cover what's dead. Lots of it. 6 feet of it is what's needed to cover what's really dead and decaying. Have you ever, any of you just lived a season of your life as dirt on something dead? God has more for you than that. Your life is bigger than a graveyard. Your dirt wasn't meant to cover what's dead. God wants to take the same substance, put it in the right place, and put it in the right hands. And dirt in a potter's house is a vessel of creation waiting to be explored. So God develops dirt. He doesn't use dirt. And there's a difference in being used and being developed. What is March for some of you? The beginning of spiritual development into what God has for you. And God doesn't want to just use you. He wants to develop you into the fullness of your potential. But you've got to get in the right place. And you've got to make sure it's His hands on you. Because although the clay is the center point and it has immense value, the clay has little say or control in its circumstances. The clay has one role: yield. You, as the valuable dirt, you have one role: yield. Now, to some of you, that's like a word of death today. Your skin is crawling, right? To my fellow control freaks in the room, we're like, did she just say yield? Did she just say do nothing? I did. But for those of you that are worn out trying to make things happen, you were never equipped to make happen. I hope it's a word of peace. Just be still and yield. Yield to what? Yield to motion. We're in March, right? It's the month of movement. It's the month of yielding to motion. What motion? Good. We're on our last character. It's the wheel. And the wheel, as long as the clay is still in the hands of the potter, as long as the clay is still in process, the wheel never stops moving. Even if the potter pauses to think, or makes a mistake, which we'll talk about in just a minute. No matter what is happening in the process of pottery, the wheel never stops. And I laugh because this has been what I have been feeling. And I just pray there's at least one individual in this room that this encourages your heart today. It's the wheel of spinning. Because when we talk about March being a month of movement, we think linear movement. And there will be linear movement, right? I believe some of you are going to leap forward. You're going to move forward into your future. Some of you are going to get promotions in the spirit and in the natural. We think linear, and linear is a positive movement. But God doesn't really always think linear. In fact, linear thinking comes from inferior time. God doesn't think according to your clock unless he's trying to speak to your carnal circumstances. God is an eternal God. And where your time is a linear timeline, okay? Chronos time is linear. Whew. Eternal time is a circle. Eternal time never has an ending. It's infinity. Eternal time can even be seen as a double circle or an eight. Some of you wear it as jewelry, an infinity loop. So where Cronus time is linear because it will have a beginning and an end, God's time is a circle. And in this year of the extra day, I don't know who this word is for. You have experienced some wasted time in your past. You've had some opportunities stolen from you. You've made some poor choices. People have made choices for you. Regret has been a garment and an identity you've worn. Shame has been something that you partnered with because you keep thinking in linear time. And when you think linear time, I should have made me a timeline. Like right here is an opportunity and I missed it. So there it goes. It's gone. Regret, grief. Here's another opportunity. Missed it. Oh my word, my life. It's this line of mistakes. Do you see this Chronos timeline of my life? I missed it over and over. I screwed up there. I missed that moment. I didn't yield. I lived in sin, whatever it was. And so when I say it's leap year, your mind is like, I don't get it, Pastor Devin. How can a day in front of me make up for all the days behind me? Because you have to divorce yourself of linear thinking. Because God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, which is pretty high, so are his ways higher than your ways and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. So when we entered into leap year, we did not get on a linear Chronos calendar. You are now entering into the spinning wheel of the Lord. I'm going to make a big circle. His time looks like this. So I'm walking in time and I'm like, I missed it. I missed it. Jesus, forgive me, I missed it. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. What? What? It's another opportunity. It's another moment. What? It's not behind me anymore. It's right here. And this time, I will not miss it. I learned my lesson in the first rotation, but this time, I will not miss it. You need to hear me. Some of you, you think your line is a line of shame and regret, but God is bending your timeline into a circle. And what leap year is about to be for you is as you are pursuing him, you hear me, it'll never be behind you. You keep moving forward with him. You keep your heart humble, and what was behind you will be in front of you before you know it, because God is bringing a season of restoration over your life, and every missed opportunity is coming back before you. It's a spin. Shekatara Masoya. What did I come to release today on the first Sunday of the month of movement? Spinning over your life. Spinning over your life. Do you feel it in the atmosphere? Just yielding to the spinning of the Lord. Spinning is the motion of creativity. Why? Because the earth is still spinning. The earth is spinning. The orbit Kevin has been preaching on is not a linear motion. It's a rotation of a spin. The stars Pastor Kevin has been preaching on, they are spinning balls of gas. The throne room is circular worship. They are not walking a linear line of beginning and end. They are walking an eternal circle of holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. God's throne, are you ready? It's on wheels. Because God spins. And this month, He's inviting you to spin with Him. Spinning can make you feel disoriented. Anybody been feeling disoriented lately? Do you feel like your life is spinning? You were praying for it to stop, and today I came for it to decree it spin faster. You've been grieving because you thought it was chaos, and it's really the creativity of the Lord. I came to encourage some people. You feel like you're on a merry-go-round and life is spinning all around you. And I came to say, welcome to a new beginning. Spinning can feel chaotic. It can feel reckless. It can feel dangerous unless you trust who's spinning you. Asher, I wish I had brought a video. It would like make us breathe in the middle of this. Asher loves to spin. He spins so much, I'm afraid he's gonna get a concussion. He will spin till he hits the wall. So when we go to the playground, there's this little thing and you just twist it and it spins him. And he will spin till he vomits. And you know what I do? I'm spinning him. He gets on that wheel. He has no fear of falling off. He has no fear of a concussion. He has no fear of repercussions. In fact, when he gets off, he takes off running. And I have to chase him to keep him from face planting into another child. Because the person spinning is enjoying the ride. And the person responsible for the spinning is watching out for them. So I came to speak peace to you. You're not in a storm. You're in a prophetic swirl. And I came to speak peace to you. You're not going to crash. It's not going to end in a wreck. Yahweh is the one spinning you. And He is watching out for you on all sides. You may not can see clearly right now. Because when you're spinning, your natural vision is blurry. But guess what? In this season of movement, you don't have to see clearly. The potter is seeing for you. In fact, I think he spins some of you faster on purpose because he wants you to lose your natural vision. It's interfering with his vision. Some of you are like, my God, life is so crazy right now. I can't see straight. And Yahweh's saying exactly where I need you. Because as long as you see, you'll follow your own understanding. But what I'm trying to do is shape what I see in you. The greatest fear of spinning is loss of control. Welcome to the month of March. If I get another sermon, it'll be another motion called shaking. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Welcome to the month of March. And everything that's willing to spin will spin. And in the month of March, control is going to have to be slaughtered at the altar of your prayer life. We have to be willing to trust what the end result is, even when the spinning feels scary. In fact, the clay is just supposed to surrender to the spin. It's all that's been happening up here. And what's crazy is that the faster the spin, the faster the creativity flows. The spinning is actually where the magic happens. And the clay's vessel, the clay becoming the vessel, its perspective of spinning is fear. But the potter's perspective of spinning is progress. It just depends how you look at it. And today I just came to change your perspective. Because some of you, you were like leaping with me. You're like, whoa, month of March, month of movement. And then the movement started. The spinning has started. The shaking's coming. And you thought, something's wrong. I feel like something's wrong. I'm terrified. I don't want to be in this month of movement anymore. And I've done something wrong. And something's wrong with my life. And oh my God, God has left me. I got to get back in control. And I came here today to speak peace to you. Just stay on the wheel. Just stay yielded. You can trust your potter. And here's where we'll end today. Before 12. They turned the clock back on me. It's part of this story that's probably my focal point as I end. The clay was marred in the process. Now, this might not be for everybody. I hope everything I've spoken has encouraged every heart. But this part, if it's not for you today, put it in your pocket for a future season. But I know this is for somebody today. The clay was marred. Shakoth. It means to ruin, spoil, or corrupt. It was ruined on the potter's wheel. Now, this can happen at any process in pottery. It can happen at any process when destiny was starting or now as you see the vessel taking place. Marring can happen at any moment, okay? Oh, we don't like this theology. I feel what's about to come to me. Once I get in his hands, everything's gonna be great. Life is gonna be tulip and roses. Nothing bad will ever happen to me. That is not the word God gave Jeremiah. The clay was on the wheel, and the clay was in his hands, and it was still marred. And if you were to interview a potter today, a good potter, a good potter is not one that never has a disruption in the process. A good potter, and the best potters are the potters who can take any disruption in the clay and use it for the good of the vessel. Do you hear scripture in this revelation? A good potter cannot predict when an oxygen pocket will pop up in the clay. Even the best potters can't predict if it wasn't processed enough before, not enough water was added. But a good potter will never stop making the vessel even when it screws up in the middle. In fact, if it's a really good potter, you won't even know that it happened. The only people who will know is the clay and the potter. Because the potter never stops moving and he never stops shaping. And I need to talk to people who have gone through a season of marring. Whether it can happen at any stage, I want to even go further. In this story, it sounds like it happened during the coning and the shaping, which means it happened pretty late in the process. Why do you say that, Pastor Devin? Because it says this. It actually says that he had to shape it into another vessel. Meaning it was already taking shape. It was already taking shape. Let me talk to someone who they were in the middle of life taking shape and things beginning to look like they were going in a certain direction and life looking like it was going in a certain direction, seeing some partial fulfillment of some things. What do you do in that moment when a marring happens? Well, the potter, he never stops shaping. But he does shift. I don't know who this word is for in the month of March, but one of your words for movement will be shifting. Because what we want to read in this story is that he kept making the same vessel. We want God to restore whatever was marred. We want him to go back and make it just like it was. We want him to repeat the same thing and just fix it. But that's not what the potter did in Jeremiah 18. He was making one vessel. There was a marring that happened pretty late in the process, and the potter said, I'll just do a new thing. What? I'll just make another vessel. He didn't make the same vessel. He made another vessel that seemed best to him. Your best is to repeat what was marred. His best is to do something brand new. Isaiah 43 and 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. I am not repackaging an old thing. I am not revisiting an old thing. My hand is not blessing that old thing. My focus is no longer in the design of that old thing. Clay, I'm about to do something new. It won't look like what it used to look like. It won't feel like what it used to feel like. But it's not just going to be better than it was. Read the passage. He did not say, and the potter did something better. It said he did what was best. This is really crazy. Probably theology I shouldn't tackle on a Sunday morning, but oh well. What if what got marred wasn't the best anyways? See, you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, is she saying God makes mistakes or changes his mind? First of all, 95% of the time, the marring has nothing to do with the potter. It's what comes out of the clay and the pressure of the process. It's a whole other sermon. But what if God really did have the ability in your life to work all things for good? And what if what was lost that you're grieving, what is broken that you keep trying to put back together, what's done that you're still trying to hold on to, what you're praying about that God's done with, what if you're grieving over that is because you think that was the best? And God's trying to tell you, if you'll just let me be the potter, I've got something brand new, and it's not just better. It is what I say is best. It's a real specific word today for some people who have experienced a marring. I don't know if it's in your calling, a ministry, a relationship, a business endeavor. I don't know what it is. All I know is you started, you yielded, things started to take shape. This is why this is so specific. But somewhere on the way, a marring happened. And you have lost your ever-loving mind trying to figure out what you do from here. And I came to tell you, restoration looks like a spinning wheel. Redemption in leap year looks like a spinning wheel. And God is telling you, yield to the motion of spinning, because what I'm about to do is not put the broken pieces together of what was. If you will submit and surrender and yield to me, I'm about to put my hands on you and I'm about to do something completely new. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it springs forth. But a couple verses before, he says, forget the former. This is is hard for somebody, you gotta forget it. Pastor Devin, do you know how much time that took? How much of my life I invested in that? How many resources I put in that? How much of my heart I sowed into that? Do you know how long? Forget the former things. It's not what's best anymore. He could not speak any more clearly to you today. March is the month of the beginning of a new thing, and it will not look like what it has. Do you have the courage to embrace a new design? Do you have the courage to dare to believe God for a new design? Some of you, your faith level was only in patching and repairing. But today he's going to give you the faith to leap into true restoration and the beginning of something new. Stand all over this place. Is Josh up here? Pryor? Oh, good. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask my friend Josh to come. I hope one day he'll be my future father-in-law. We've betrothed Asa in Genesis. Not my father-in-law, Genesis. I have fasting brain, y'all, so just hear the anointing and not my words. I asked Josh to come up and sing a song that I drove my daughter crazy the whole way to St. Louis. I wept and I listened to this song. I'm going to ask him just to release it prophetically over this house, because I know that usually I have us leaping and running. I might have a spin today, but today this is really personal. I want to release movement over your life, but only if you're willing to receive it. And I want to open these altars in the next few moments just for some specific things. First of all, there are some people who need to begin again. Coach Nathan and Pastor Jessica already alluded to this, but I know as I was preparing this sermon, for me, God was giving it to me about some circumstances and situations, but for some of you, it's your life. March is about God making you a new vessel of his glory. In some of you, because you were marred in your journey, you've walked away from him. And today he's inviting you into a spin of creativity. And he's not here to patch up your past. He's here to make you a new creation. So today, God might have sent me for you. But I came to talk to a second group of people that you have had a collision with marring. And you've been asking God, what do I do? And I'm here to tell you today, he is calling you to yield to the spinning of a new thing. The chaos, the spinning, the movement, the turbulence, it's not the enemy having the upper hand in your life. It's God spinning you into a completely new design. See, when you're spinning, you cannot hold on to anything. If I was to reach out and try to grab a hold of something that is still while I am spinning, it would maybe take my arm off, depending on how fast the motion is. So hear me. When you surrender to the spinning of the potter's wheel, the only thing you can hold on to is whatever is spinning with you. Because if you hold on to anything that he does not have on that wheel with you, it will injure you greatly. You're going to have to let go of what he has not blessed anymore. What is not moving in your direction anymore. God is saying, let go. And you are only permitted to hold on to what I put as an ingredient on this spinning wheel. And some of you are going to get the grace to believe for something new. So if that's you, these altars are for you today. And then lastly, for all of us, are you ready to step into the spinning of the Lord? March is going to be a month of spinning, of rotating. And in that spin, you are going to find redemption and restoration over your life, your house, and your children. Would you lift your hands and begin to worship him? Abba, I pray right now that you would bless these words I've spoken today. They are your words, so they carry an anointing that's not of me, it's of you. And I pray right now that this word and the prophetic declaration of the instruments and the singing would actually begin a spinning in this atmosphere. Abba, would you make this entire sanctuary a potter's wheel today? And Lord, for every willing vessel that wants to step on the wheel, could you invite us into your spinning today? Can you, Father, give us the faith where those of us have lacked the faith? Would you gift us with the faith to believe for something new? In fact, as the spinning begins in this atmosphere, I prophesy your word, Isaiah 43:19. I speak it over your life. I speak it over your spirit. God says, can you not perceive it? Behold, I am doing a new thing. And right now, it springs forth. Let it begin, Father. Let your creative anointing fill this place. And I pray for a grace of renewal. Just begin to worship. In the hand. Sing it, Josh.
I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands.
Just begin to worship him right now. Just begin to worship him.
And I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me.
These altars are open right now. Whether you're making your life new, whether you're surrendering the old thing for a new thing, whether you're just jumping into the spinning of the Lord, I just invite you now. You can step into these altars. You can step into a moment of worship. I'm going to turn Josh loose to prophesy however he wants to. Altar workers, you help me. But right now, step into the spinning of the Lord.
There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to.
Keep playing, Josh. Just hold it right there. This is how it's gonna roll. That was the word of the Lord. And when you're done, God bless you. We are out at 12:12. That is a time breaker for me. So when you're done, you're free to go. But as long as you're in this place, why don't you just step on the wheel of the potter? So there's nothing else structured I'm going to do up here. All I want to do is let Yahweh minister. Some of you need to jump back and surrender on that wheel. Some of you need to allow him to make things new. But all I know is this. If you want to step toward him right now, people are going to meet you to pray for you. If your whole household wants to pray one for another right now, this is just going to be tabernacle time. So just begin to worship, and this is your official dismissal, okay? When you're ready to go, go. But as long as you want to encounter him and receive from this word, these altars are open. Go ahead, Josh.